Amen. Ephesians and chapter 4 and verse 11. We're looking at an important teaching. I'll call it Understanding Christianity, Understanding the Gospel. Amen. It's quite long, but it's fine. Amen. Understanding Christianity, Understanding the Gospel. But it's very important to get the teaching. Understanding Christianity, Understanding the Gospel. Now, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through to 16. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians. Well, let me see which I want us to read first. Okay, we'll read Ephesians 4 first. We'll read Mark 16 as well. Then we'll now read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 downwards. Are you out there? Understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Are we there? Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, He himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But verse 15 now says, but speaking the truth in love, we will grow up into him in all things who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does a share, causes the growth of the body in the edifying of itself in love. Did you get that? Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, he told us there that Jesus himself gave certain people to carry out a particular work. Amen. That is going to bring us to a particular end. Are you getting it? And that end is going to cause us no longer to be children, but it's going to cause us to grow up into him who is the head, which is Christ. Amen. And he now says that way the whole body is going to cause the growth of itself. That's what it basically says in that Ephesians 4, 11. Now see, we said Mark 16. Mark and chapter 16. Mark 16. I'll start from verse 14. Turn your Bibles, Mark chapter 16. I'll start from verse 14 in this particular teaching. And later he appeared to the 11. And the he there is the Lord Jesus, you see, is the Lord Jesus. He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Are you there? So that means this is at the resurrection of Christ. And that fact is key. That what he's doing here is at his resurrection. You're going to see that relates with Ephesians 4 that we are coming from. Are we on the same page? So we are seeing at his resurrection he appears to them. And then verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Are you there? And preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Then 17 says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so then the Lord had spoken to them, said it was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere the word, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word. So he told them to go and preach the gospel, and they called it yet the word. Are you following this? And confirming the word with accompanying signs. So we've seen the first text, Ephesians 4. It says he gave certain people. Are you there? Now, maybe we should go back to Ephesians 4 and see when it says he gave certain people, when did he give those people? And then we'll go to the last text I want to see, which is 1 Corinthians. Ephesians 4, and I'll start from verse 7 here. Are you there? Are you already there? Ephesians 4 and 7. Now, Ephesians 4, 7, it says, but to each one of us, Paul speaking still, he says, was grace given according to the measure of Christ given. Then verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high. Now, he's talking about Christ. Now, when Christ ascended on high, are you seeing this? He said, he led captive captive and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does he mean? But that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is also the one that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some. Are you following this? That means he's saying that he gave this gift, which we just saw earlier, when he had descended and then ascended. Are we on the same page? And we are seeing that he gave an instruction when he ascended, which was the instruction we saw in Mark. I want the same page. Now, before I go to 1 Corinthians, I'll go to John. I want to show you what, when it says he descended and he ascended. They are not talking about when he left the earth. The ascension was he had gone on doing the ascension before he came back to give them the instruction. I want the same page. He had gone on, the Lord has had the ascension before coming back to give them the instruction that we saw earlier. Are you seeing this? Now, in John chapter 20, watch this. John chapter 20, I'm going to want you to read here from verse 14. John 20 and from verse 14. Are you out there? Are you out there? Now look at verse 14, see what it says. It says, now when she, this is Mary here, Mary Magdalene, after the Lord had died and they were all shaken by that event. He said, and when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was who? Jesus. She thought it was the gardener. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Are you seeing this? Then Jesus said to her, Mary, that means he called her in a familiar tone, or in familiar terms. And then he said, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, in verse 17, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So he has descended at this point, am I right? When he died and was buried and had gone to Hades, as we're going to see. Amen. He had descended at this point. And I said, I've not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father, and to my God, your God. So, and Mary Magdalene, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and I had spoken these things to her. So the Lord says, don't cling to me. Let me ascend first before we can relate freely. Are you getting it? So did the Lord come back and relate with them? He did. Then the same day at evening, so he had ascended. Are you there? The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So, he says, go and tell them that I'm ascending. So that means by the time they see me, I must have done what? I must have ascended. So, Paul says that the Lord gave, having descended and ascended. And that means it is after this ascent that we see the Lord give these men. But what did he actually give? We saw in Mark 16 that what he gave were some certain instructions. Are we there? Are we on the same page? What he gave, Mark 16, were certain instructions. When we see him here in John 20, we are going to see again that he gives specific instructions. Are we on the same page? Now, in the instructions in John 20, he said, peace be with you. In 20, it says, and he said to them, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad. And they were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, peace to you. As my Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this to them, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And in verse 23, he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Proper translation will be, if they retain, they are retained. Now, that means those who retain the sins are those who don't believe, and therefore their sins remain retained, even though you preach to them that Christ has done the work of forgiveness. But we're not going into that detail in this teaching. Are we on the same page? Now, that implies that when the Lord said there that he gave, or Paul said that the Lord gave some apostles at the ascension, this instruction that we are seeing that he gave after he had ascended is how he gave them. For that purpose I gave them for. I want the same page. Now I want us to watch everywhere that instruction was given. We have seen where the instruction was given in Mark. And we say, what was the instruction he gave in Mark? You can sum it up by saying what he actually said is go and preach the gospel. Am I right? We are looking at understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Amen. You find that it's the same thing, but to make it clearer, that's why we are titling that. Understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Now, I want to turn to Matthew 28 to see the same event after his ascension. Amen. In Matthew chapter 28, you see the same event after his ascension. Are you there? Okay, are we together? Now, we are looking at when Jesus ascended and he gave. Are you there? Now, Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 16, the Lord had ascended again at this point, and then he had come back to his disciples and see what happens at that instance. Matthew 28 and in verse 16. It says in 16, and the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them. Then verse 17. I want you to follow. Verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then you see verse 18, which is now important to us. I hope we are together thus far. Verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. The word actually reads in heaven and upon the earth. which is why we sang that song, Father and Son have made their own with me. I am in heaven upon the earth. Amen. So he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and upon the earth. He says, go therefore, he's talking to the 11, after his descent and his ascent, where Paul told us that he himself gave the responsibilities that we saw, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for a particular reason. Now he's talking to them and he says, go therefore, is somebody there, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We have actually explained that, but that's not the focus of this teaching. Now, when you see baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it means you are baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. That means they are now baptized into the family. It's not baptizing them using the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, as we are wont to think. Oh, put them inside water and say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, he's saying put them inside the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Are we on the same page? And that's by their believing the gospel, but we'll get that in some other teaching. Now it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And 20 says, teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. And it says, teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you. Now that's not a good place to be, because these guys have done some very non-interesting things. Praise God. Teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So we see the Lord Jesus give us or show us what he did, or we have seen recorded what the Lord Jesus did at his ascent. So when he tells us there that the Lord gave these people for a reason, how the Lord gave them to do that work we are seeing is seen here in Matthew chapter 28. It's seen in Mark chapter 16. It's seen in John chapter 20. Now one more place is seen before I take you to 1 Corinthians is Luke. Amen. One more place is seen is in Luke chapter 24. Are you out there? One more place you see that work that the Lord has done is in Luke and chapter 24. Amen. Now, it says in verse 44, look at this, the Lord had descended again and ascended at this point. Then verse 44 says, are you there now? Alright, then it says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in what? The law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So he told them that these are the things I said to you while I was with you. They are the same things I'm repeating now. That all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, the prophet, the Psalms concerning me. Then verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. Now let me say this. That means God wants us to understand the gospel. Look at that. He says he opened their understanding. Amen. That he may comprehend the scriptures. Then verse 46 says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, or to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, which is remission of sin, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So we are looking at what we have called understanding Christianity and understanding the gospel. Understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Now, lastly, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we can see that there's an importance, to understanding the faith of Christ, which we call Christianity, to understanding the faith of Christ, so much so that the Lord opened their understanding to comprehend the scriptures. So you open their mind, is the word understanding, to understanding the scriptures. Amen. So when I say I am a Christian, do I understand what it means to be a Christian? Or if someone asks me, Christianity, do I understand what Christianity means? In fact, people who ask questions, why Christianity? Why maybe we go somewhere to go and preach the gospel? Amen. And sometimes you go and preach, you even get to a place, you meet a Christian, you meet someone that is of another faith. And then you're trying to probably preach to both of them, or you're trying to preach to the person that is of another faith, which you didn't know before. You sometimes see the one that is a Christian and say, no, he's of another faith, because he doesn't understand why Christianity. Amen. There's a reason to the faith of Christ that makes it also important one, and makes it also encompassing. There's a reason to the faith of Christ that makes it applicable to all people, that makes it the answer to the question that is on the heart of every man. Amen. But before we get there, let's go further and look at 1 Corinthians 15. We are seeing understanding the gospel, understanding Christianity. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand. So we have seen Jesus tell them I'm sending you to go and preach the gospel. Now, Paul is saying, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you did what? Unless you believed in vain. Then look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you what? First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then by the 12. Then he kept listing all the people that he was seen by until he gets to himself in verse 8. Verse 6 says, and he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by the apostles. Then last of all he said he was seen by me as one born out of due time. Amen. So, let me go back to Ephesians 4, and we'll bring all of those texts we have read together now. Are you following this? Go back to Ephesians 4. So, Ephesians 4 says something happened at the descent and the ascent of Christ that determines what we are doing in the church today. Maybe I should say that determines what Christianity is. Amen. And it says, what happened there is that the Lord gave certain responsibilities to people. Are you following this? He said he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? One reason. He said he gave them for the perfecting of the saints. That's why he said he gave them. Are you there? In fact, the way it reads in the original language in which it was written, when we say the original language in which it was written, is because the original author, Paul, wrote in a particular language in which many manuscripts were multiplied from before it was now put together and then translated into English. I want the same page. Now, when Paul wrote the words that were used in verse 12, when he says, he gave these people for the perfection of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the word for in that verse 12 was not the same word across board. That means it's not the same word for. Are you following this? The first word for in verse 12 in the Greek was the word pros in the Greek. Amen. Now, the second word for in that same verse 12 and the third word for are the same words, and is the word eis in the Greek, E-I-S. The first word is the word pros, P-R-O-S. The other one is the word eis. Now, eis is the word to, into, or onto. Why pros is actually a matter of direction, towards. Amen. Why the other one is into, to, onto, that means this enters the other one. Amen. I want the same page. Now, so when he says he gave them towards, that's purpose, direction, the perfecting of the saints, which is onto the work of ministry and onto the edifying of the body of Christ. Are you out there? So it implies very clearly that he has given these people for one reason. And he calls that reason why he has given them the perfecting of the saints. Are you there? When Jesus died and rose again, he could have done many things if he considered them important, but he did one thing. He appeared to his disciples and he gave them a commission to carry out one function. Amen. He says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in my name and teaching them. He says, go and preach the gospel. Are you following this? He explained the gospel to them and says, you are now witnesses of the gospel. But Paul now summarized what he told them. He said, what he told us to go and do is to go and perfect the saints. Are you there? He says, we are to perfect the saints in verse 12, but he now told us the end goal of that perfecting in verse 13. He said we are to perfect the saints till we, that's the saints, that means all of us, including himself as a saint, would have to go through that experience. Amen. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. That means the perfecting of the saints is until we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, unity of the faith implies a definite message, and that's why the very next statement will say, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So unity of the faith means a definite message that has a specific range. Because by the time you say unity, you mean the wholeness of it. The unity of the faith. So there's a specific message. It has a definite range. It's a specific knowledge. Are we on the same page? So by the time I say, what did the Lord send us to go and do? He said, go and preach the gospel. What did the Lord send us to go and do? He says, go and perfect the saints till they all come to the unity of the faith. Are you following thus far? Go preach the gospel, specific message, the gospel. Go and perfect the saints. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in my name and teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. What did he command them? To preach the gospel. I want the same page. That means if I ask today, what is the Lord Jesus about? He is about the gospel. The interesting part is that he told us in Luke 24, he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That means while he was around, what was he preaching? The gospel. Amen. So what we'll say Christianity, or we say the faith of Jesus Christ that we are all a part of today. We are talking about a faith that is entirely about a specific message. Are we there? We are talking about a faith that is entirely about a specific message. What about Christianity? Or why are you a Christian? How are you a Christian? It's because of a specific message. A specific message. Hallelujah. There's a specific message that makes for the Christian faith. Now, and is that message the Lord told them to go and preach? He first says first for them to be saved. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. That means that message determines a man's salvation. So if you say, what is Christianity, or what's Christianity about, or why Christianity, we first have to understand what it is, which is a specific message. And that message makes for every other thing. If you don't understand the message, then you are not even talking about the faith of Christ at all. Are we on the same page? Everything that Christianity is about that message itself. So, he said, go and preach that message. Why? So that they will be saved, is the first thing he says. He now also says, so that they are going to grow. He says, to make them disciples. Go and preach the message for them to be saved. Go and preach the message for them to grow spiritually or to be made disciples. They are going to stand in that message, Paul will say. Or Paul is going to also say they are going to be perfected by that message. Interestingly, the word perfected there, or perfecting of the saints, and the word discipleship are related. Are you following this? When it says, the reason why the Lord gave these people at the resurrection is for them to go and perfect the saints. The word perfecting there is the word in the Greek, katatismos, that actually is used for discipleship by the time you examine its verb. Amen. The word katatismo itself is a noun. But if you examine its verb, which is the word katatismos, you are going to see it used for discipleship by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 40. Amen. Where the Lord said, a disciple cannot be more than his master, but he that is perfectly trained, and the word perfectly trained there is katatizo, the verb. Amen. He that is perfectly trained will be as master. So, that means the message that the Lord gave them, which interestingly said is the same message that he was preaching while he was around. Are we on the same page? Is the message that he gave them, is the same message he said he was preaching while he was around, is what makes Christianity Christianity. So when I say understanding Christianity is itself understanding the gospel. And I'm going to understand how critical, how important, of what value Christianity is understanding how critical, how important, and of what value that message called the gospel is. Are we on the same page? Amen. To say I understand what it means to be a Christian, or understand what Christianity is about, or understand what you are talking to me about when you come and preach to me the gospel. Amen. Is to say I understand the message called the gospel. Are you following this? That was the message the Lord himself preached while he was around. Now let me show you. The word gospel in that particular material, Matthew, you find it used four times in Matthew. You find it used in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 23, when it was said that the Lord was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to see that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Are you there? It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So, what was the Lord preaching while he was around? The gospel. That was what he was about. He went about everywhere, not preaching two things, but preaching one thing, the same thing, and it's called the gospel. There, the gospel of the kingdom. Just a description. You see, in some other places, it's called the gospel of God. In some other places, it's called the gospel of his son. In some other places, it's called the gospel of Christ. Are we on the same page? I'm on the same page. Amen. Now look at Matthew chapter 9. We are still seeing that same message. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. We find that it was the same message the Lord preached while he was around. And Jesus went about their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went about their cities and villages. That means wherever the Lord went to, he wasn't doing two things. He was doing one thing. So, when we say, Christianity, or some say Jesus started Christianity. Now, obviously, being that he's God that became a man, that's correct. But he did not start with his coming. Are we on the same page? He did not start with his incarnation. Christianity had always been. Because it's what God has instituted, as you're going to see as we proceed, from the start. Amen. But if you do not understand the message, you might not understand the fact that the message has always been what all human beings were supposed to live by. Are you out there at all? Are you out there at all? So he told us here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 that while he was around, wherever the Lord went to, what he was preaching was the word, the gospel. So if I say, what was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to, we can say, institute the gospel everywhere. Amen. He was trying to build the gospel everywhere. Are you there at all? Amen. Now, so we see him talk about that in Mark chapter 9, verse 5. The third place you are going to see him talk about the gospel, Mark chapter 24. Mark chapter 24. In the book of Matthew, you see the Mark chapter 24 and in verse 14. It's the third place you are going to see them use that word gospel. That was what Jesus was about. And now you see that that's what Jesus told us is supposed to be preached till the end. Are you there? Alright, Mark chapter 24 and in verse 14. And it says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. Are you following this? So, if it is Christianity, it is the gospel. If it's not the gospel, it's not Christianity. Are you following this? Jesus says, what my work is, or what is going to be fulfilled, the people are fulfilling what I came to do, is that they are going to do what? Preach this gospel of the kingdom in what? In all the world. Look at the verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as what? As a witness to every nation, and then the end will what? And then the end will come. Amen. So that message is what is going to be preached in all the world that makes for Christianity. Is somebody out there thus far? And that's what the Lord now mandated at his resurrection. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he said, go and preach that gospel for people to be saved. Go and preach that gospel for them to be disciples of the same, which means for them to live by it. Now, a disciple is like an apprentice. It means for them to be practitioners of the message. So, if I want to understand Christianity, it means I want to understand the gospel. Now, this is the all-important question. Because when is that going to say, I want to understand, or what is Christianity? And sometimes people make all sort of assumptions. In fact, today, because of that, if someone wants to identify a Christian, how do I know who a Christian is? Sometimes you think, who maybe acts in this particular way, or who dresses in this particular way, or who looks in this particular way, or whatever else. Amen. You know, and there are all sort of labels and ideas about what makes for Christianity. But we have seen thus far the Lord just said it's the gospel. Why is it the gospel? That's the question. What is the gospel about? That message. What is it about? Before we say, what is it saying? We must first find out, what is it even trying to say? What issue is it trying to address in itself? Are you there thus far? Now, pay attention. It implies that when Paul was speaking, and I want you to think about that in Ephesians chapter 4, and it says the work that these people have, the work that the leaders in the church have, is to perfect the saints till we all come to the unity of the faith. That means all of them have a duty to bring us to the unity of the faith. That work is a work that is accomplished by doing what? By preaching the gospel, am I right? Now, how are we going to know that? Look at Romans chapter 16. You see that confirmed again. It's a work accomplished by preaching the gospel. I can say when it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, it's saying till we all come to the wholeness of the gospel. Am I right? Till we all come to the wholeness of the gospel. The faith that is the gospel. That's the message. Are we on the same page? Now look at Romans 16 and 25. It says to him, talking about God and the Lord Jesus, you might say, to him who is able to establish you according to my, so how we are established is by the gospel. So the perfection of the saints, when it says the perfection of the saints is going to happen when we all come to the unity of the faith, is that when we all come to the oneness of the knowledge of the gospel. Are you following this? The oneness of the knowledge of the gospel. We can call it the oneness of the gospel of the Son, which is now called the knowledge of the Son of God. So he's referring to the gospel there. That is able to establish it according to my gospel, and he calls that gospel the preaching of Jesus Christ. So we can say the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen. The gospel of the Son. Are you following this? So he says, according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mission which was kept secret before the world began. Now we're back to all of that later on. So what exactly is the gospel addressing? That's what I want us to see today. When I say Christianity, what exactly is it about? What exactly is he addressing? What is it all about in the first place? In that Ephesians 4, you will see Paul himself had answered that question. In Ephesians, not necessarily 4, in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Are you all there? And I want you to see it in Ephesians and chapter 1 and verse 13, where Paul spoke about the gospel. So, we're looking at understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Jesus wants us to understand Christianity. When he rose from the dead, he gathered disciples to make them understand what he was about. Amen. What his work was about. And that understanding of what he was about, of what Christianity was about, was an understanding of the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, in Ephesians and in chapter 1 and in verse 13, Ephesians 1 and 13, are you there? It says, and in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, In whom having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of inheritance unto redemption of the purchased possession. Now, pay attention to verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. Now, so, and he calls the word of truth what? The gospel of your salvation. Thank you. Now, so he says the gospel is the word of truth. Amen. That means the answer that the gospel is endeavoring to provide is an answer to the question of truth. Are we on the same page? An answer to the question of truth that lies on the heart of every man, that is found on the heart of every man, is what the gospel is providing an answer to. Amen. It says, in him we also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, the word that logos is a topic. That means when you heard the topic or the subject matter of truth, which is the gospel. That means the gospel is what discusses the truth. The gospel is what provides, we can say, the right answer to the question of truth. Is somebody there thus far? The gospel is what discusses the truth. The gospel is what provides the right answer to the question of the truth. Hallelujah. So he says in him also, you trust after you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And you see that fact about the gospel being the truth run across board in the scriptures. Amen. So that you are able to identify that, oh, what the gospel is out to do is to give us an answer to the question of the truth. So the question about such things as, for example, why exactly are we even here at all, can only be found where? In the gospel. So the questions to the truth, what we can call the truth of existence as a whole, can only be found in the gospel. Are you there? Amen. If the question to the truth of existence can be found in the gospel, it means everything I'm supposed to conduct my life, the way I'm supposed to conduct my life as a whole, is therefore answered in that message. What is the truth of our origin, of our existence? What is the truth of our end, of what is after this world? What is the truth of our destiny, you might say? What is the truth of our morality? And of all of such questions that bothers us about this world, what is right and what is wrong, and what is this and what is that, or why are we here exactly? How am I sure everybody is saying this one and saying that one? He says the gospel is the answer to the question of truth, is the discussion, is the subject matter, is the presentation or the summation of what truth is. Are you there? Alright now, see Colossians 1, when he talks about the gospel as well, in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 5, you will see equally, it shows us that is the answer to the question of truth. So when I have those questions about truth, maybe questions such as, where am I from? How did I get here? What's happening? What are we here for? What are we doing? How do I know what the truth is? I would only find those answers by looking into the gospel. Amen. I would only find those answers by looking in the gospel. Now, Colossians 1 and 5. He said, because of the hope that is laid up for you, Paul speaking, in heaven, of which you have heard before, in the word of truth of the... Interestingly, the way it's written, the original can read, in the word of truth, the gospel. Because there's no double of necessarily. It's in the truth's word, which is the gospel. Amen. In the word of truth of the gospel, or in the word of truth, which is the gospel. Which has come to you, and that's also in all the world. Notice that, and that's key, because you're going to see it, that the message of the truth has also gone into all the world. Hallelujah. The word of truth, which is the gospel. He says it has come to you, and it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is amongst you since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And that's verse 6, when it says knew the grace of God in truth, is another thing that we'll examine as we proceed. Amen. So he said, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Are you out there? Now, you find, look at this one, very key. 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2. So when I say the gospel, when I say Christianity, I am invariably saying the gospel. When I say the gospel, I'm saying that which is the answer to the question of the truth. Are you on the same page? Are you following this? That which is the answer, not the answer. You know, today people say, I have my own truth. I have my own truth. You know, people have sort of ideas. Oh, if you ask a question today, say, well, Christians say this one. These other people say this one. These other people say that one. These other people say that one. Anybody can be right. That's nonsense. Praise God. Are you getting this? If everybody is right about the same question with different answers, nobody is right, or one person is right amongst them. I want the same page. It's either one person is right or nobody is right amongst them, but there's a definite right answer. Praise God. And so you are seeing here very well that what Christianity is, which is the gospel, is that he's saying it is the truth. Amen. And if it's the truth, therefore, it is what I'm supposed to believe. It's what's going to have an implication on me, whether I choose to believe it or not as well. Are you getting this at all? Are you following this? If my disposition to the Christian faith is that I'm just doing something by the side, not recognizing that it is the truth that governs entirely what life is about, then I've missed the plot. Praise God. And the funny part is this, as we must know, is that truth has its implication. In fact, there's something interesting that Paul says in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Go there before I come back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Are we there? 2 Corinthians. And chapter 13. Hallelujah. You find Paul speaking in verse 8. And he mentions this very important fact. He said, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the what? For the truth. That means, if Christianity therefore is saying, I, the gospel, am the answer to the question of truth, it means whether you accept it or not, you cannot escape the implication of the same. Are you there? Whether you accept it or not, you are still going to have to bear its consequences, right? That means it holds true whether you choose to believe it or not. I like using the example of, let's say, gravity. At least to the extent to which gravity, the law of gravity applies in the world, right? It's true. Imagine I say, I don't believe that there's gravity. Does it change the fact that if I do something against it, I'm going to suffer the consequences? No! You don't need to believe it for it to have its consequences. Are we on the same page? If it's truth, then it means it's what I'm supposed to submit to and what I'm supposed to live by. Pay attention. So the gospel presents itself, and rightly so, it is the truth. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. So it's talking about unbelievers here, and what the devil does to them. It deceives them among those who perish. It says, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be what? Saved. What gets us saved? The gospel. And it says that's the truth. Are you following this? The love of the truth that they may be saved. Look at verse 12. It says this in verse 12. That they may all be condemned. Talking about these same folks that didn't believe. He says that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Look at 13. And we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the what? In the truth. So how are we chosen of God today? Because we have believed the truth, which has now sanctified us by the Spirit. I want the same page. By believing the truth, which is the gospel. I want the same page. So when I say, what is Christianity? Christianity is not a faith for some people. No, Christianity is the truth for all people. I want the same page. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Oh no, Christianity, what are we talking about? There are many religions in the world. Christianity is one of the religions in the world. Amen. No, Christianity is the truth of our existence. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Any understanding of the faith of Christ or outside of that is a mistake. It's not the proper understanding of God's word. It's wrong. It's not just a mistake. It's just wrong, flat out wrong. Whether it's a mistake or not, whether it's deliberate deception or a mistake, it's wrong. Amen. To understand Christianity, which is understood in the gospel, outside of the fact that it is the truth of all existence, is already error. Christianity is the truth of existence as a whole. Praise God. That means I must pay attention to the answers that it provides, to what it says about those questions, to what it is submitting of itself. Is somebody out there? Are you there? It is the answer to that question of truth. The gospel is the answer to that question of the truth. That's why you're going to see that the preachers of the gospel always said clearly, or always presented themselves as submitting the truth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. The preachers of the gospel, those who were preaching this message, always put it forth that what they are presenting is the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. It says in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to what? To come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you there? So what God wants when he says he wants people to be saved, is it to be saved by him giving one special thing somewhere that he just wants to use it to test people? No. Is that the message he's giving them is the truth. I want the same page. It's not a testing message. It's the truth. Are you out there? Amen. You find the word used again in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15. Look at this. This is going to explain to us what Paul was saying in Ephesians 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15. Are you there? And it says, and if I'm delayed, that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the ground and the pillar of the... Are you there? It says the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. So when Paul says what the church is for is to bring every saint to be perfected to the unity of the faith, it means in the church, that's the ground and the pillar of the truth, where everybody is made stable by the truth and is found standing by the truth. Are you there? The question of truth is what the gospel is about. The question of truth is what the gospel is about. To hold the faith other than in that way is to have missed it entirely. It is not your truth. It's not for you. It's not for the Israelites. It's not for the Nigerians. It's not for those in the south, different from what is for those in the north. It is what is the truth of all humanity. Are you out there? The gospel is the truth of all humanity. Not the truth of a community. Not the truth of a certain sect of people. It's the truth of the whole world. Hallelujah. Look at this. You see again in 2 Timothy, when he was preaching to the man, or instructing rather, Paul was instructing the man, Timothy, he told him this. 2 Timothy, pay attention. Are we listening to this? 2 Timothy, and I want you to get it right. 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and in verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. He said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker or a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. That means the word of truth acts the exact way it is presented. You cut out what is not true by when you are presenting it, and you show what exactly is the truth. Amen. So there is a proper presentation of the gospel that must be made. And he says that presentation of the gospel is the presentation of the word of truth. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Pay attention. In verse 18, it says this. He was talking about those who don't believe the message, who are not straight concerning the message. He said they have straight concerning the what? The truth. Are you seeing that? Verse 25. When he was talking about correcting those who are in falsehood. Verse 25. Somebody paying attention here. Are you there? Look at verse 24 and 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So when you find people that don't believe what we believe, we are going to be patient with them. Am I right? Amen. Correcting them. But he said, if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the... So the confidence from which we are correcting them, the confidence from which we are speaking to them, the boldness and the patience that we have is because we know what we are presenting them is the truth that they are supposed to see. Are we on the same page? That they are supposed to repent unto. Hallelujah. Amen. God will grant them repentance that they may know the truth. That they may know the truth. You find the same thing Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7 as well as 8. Then lastly, 2 Timothy 4, 4. I've said 2 Timothy 3 as well as 8. He says the gospel is the answer to the question of truth. He says some that don't believe, they are always learning, never able to come to the end of the truth. He said as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Then 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. Are you there? Are you there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4? Now I'll start from verse 2. I want you to pay attention. He said do what? Preach the... Be instant or be ready in season and out of season. Am I right? Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. So when you see that a preacher of the gospel is rebuking you, it's because he knows he's speaking from the standpoint of truth. He's exhorting you from the standpoint of truth. He's convincing you because he's speaking from the standpoint of truth. Pay attention. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come, he says, when they would not endure what? So there are times where people get bored of the truth. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires or lust, depending on your translation, because they have itching ears, they will heap unto themselves teachers, and they will turn their heads away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So the word that you are preaching, that he says you must stay faithful with, amen, which he calls sound doctrine, he says is the what? Is the truth. Amen. So my understanding of the gospel, when I say my understanding of Christianity, is not as what is for some people. No, it's as what is the truth of all humanity. Amen. It's not the truth of people in Africa. It's not the truth of people in Nigeria. It's the truth of people in the US. Amen. It's the truth of people in the UK. It's the truth of people in Russia. It's the truth of people in China. It's the truth of people in Antarctica. It's the truth of people under any place in the world. Even if you're hiding under your bunker. Praise God. Are we on the same page? If you are in a place that is cold or that is hot, tropical or any which way, no matter the season or time that you meet God's word, what you are encountering when you meet the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you are meeting the truth of all existence. It's not the truth of the 21st century. It's not the truth that began 2,000 years ago. Are we on the same page? It's the truth that has been from the beginning of time. Amen. And interestingly, even before time. Are we on the same page? Are you following this? He will say, oh, out of the world starts, say, it's the Big Bang. The truth of God has been before the Big Bang. Praise God. Are you following? The truth of God is an evolution. The truth of God has been before the evolution. Praise God. I want the same page. The truth of God has always been. It has been before Adam. You say, no, I don't think Adam is the first man. It doesn't matter. Whoever you call the first man, it has been before him. Amen. The truth of God has never changed. It's the truth for all time and all season. Is somebody out there? Amen. That is Christianity. Any understanding of Christianity that doesn't embrace it as the truth, not for some, but for all, as the truth, not for some time, but for all time, is not the right understanding of the faith. The truth of the faith is the truth for all people, for all time, that has never altered or changed. Amen. The question is, what is that truth? Which is the gospel? What is exactly are we saying it's saying that is the truth? Amen. What is that answer to that question of truth that it provides? That question that you have from the point where you are young and in your heart, you sit down like I did when I was around eight years of age, I think, when I remember lying on my dad's bed and I said, what was before everything? Before you, before them, before them. I think, okay, your grandpa. And I said, okay. And I said, okay. And I said, when he went all the way, went to God, I think at the point, I said, okay, what about before God? Amen. Can you say I was that stupid? Praise God. Is it that stupid or that inquisitive? I don't know which one. What about before God? What was there? Then why are we even here? Amen. Why do we have to exist? Praise God. Are we on the same page? Some people ask that question when they are tired. Amen. Why do I have to exist? Hallelujah. Or maybe when we are broke or something. Amen. Are we on the same page? Oh, why do we have to exist? Why are we here? That those questions of our heart, where are we going to? Amen. What is after this? Praise God. How do I know what is even right or wrong? What is morality? So people are saying, no, this one is not right, this one is wrong, this one is right. This person says, no, we must accept that all these things are right. This other person says, no. How do I know? We find the answer in the gospel because it is what? Truth. Not truth for some, truth for all. Not truth for some time, truth for all time. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? What exactly is that answer to that question of truth that the gospel provides? What is the answer? What does it say? What exactly is that message? When I say, this is the truth. Are you there? I want you to pay attention. Before I proceed further, when we say the gospel is the answer to the question of truth, it already implies that the gospel itself must be presented faithfully or truthfully. Are you following this? Because you'll find that it is true that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to that question of truth. But there are some that will say, I am presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, but what they are presenting is not that gospel truthfully or faithfully. Are you following this? Are you following this? We mustn't just only say, oh, when we are Christians and we have the gospel, we have the truth, we must ensure that we are actually presenting it as it is, lest we are already having a lie. And that's why you see that when you find them talk about the gospel, we are not only told that it is the truth, we are told that we must preach the truth of the gospel. Are we on the same page? Look at this. I want you to see Colossians and chapter 1 and 6. I've mentioned that. He said that when they have now known the grace of God in truth. I want you to go from that to Galatians 2 because of time. Go to Galatians 2 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Are you listening to this? Galatians 2 and 5. Are you there? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, Paul here was talking about certain people who came to oppose the truth of the gospel. He said they came to oppose the truth of what they were preaching. Then in verse 5 he says, to whom we did not yield submission even for one hour. He's saying these people that came about preaching another thing, claiming they were preaching the gospel. He said we did not yield submission even for one hour. That what? The truth of the gospel might continue with you. Are you following this? Are you following this? So it's not enough to say the gospel is the truth. The gospel must be presented in all its truth. Amen. We must not allow it to be altered. We must not allow it to be changed. We must not allow it to be maybe sugar-coated. Amen. We must not allow it to be watered down. Are you following? We must not allow it to be perverted as well. I want the same page. Watch this. Look at in verse 14. It says, when I saw, and at this point now, the first set of people he talked about earlier were certain folks from Jerusalem. He said that they were distorting the message. He said, I did not allow them so that you can continue the truth of the gospel. But by the time we get to verse 14, at this point he was talking about Peter as well as Barnabas. Are you following this? And yet, now it's not in our place to go and be shouting or railing on people's heads. Amen. I want the same page. Yet it's important for us to be steadfast with the truth. He said, when I saw, Galatians 2:14, are you there? Are you there? When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. So the gospel is the truth, but must be presented in all its truth. Are you getting it? We must not allow people to distort it. Yes, I'm preaching the truth which is Jesus Christ, but I preach the truth with Jesus Christ with certain other lies. No. we must ensure it is faithfully upheld. Amen. So if we find anyone saying, I'm preaching the gospel, which is already true for the whole world, now manhandling the same, we must, like Paul, as he says, not allow that to be done. And say, no, this is what the gospel is. The gospel is not that, is this. Praise God. Because it's not just your truth. It's the truth for everyone that is a Christian. Not just everyone that is a Christian. Everyone that is a human. Not just everyone that is a human. For existence itself. Are you there? It is the truth of existence itself. So he said, when I saw that they were not straightforward about the gospel, I said to Peter before them all. Then he showed us his rebuke. Are you there? So we must be straightforward, faithful to the gospel that is truth. So that his truth can be maintained. I want the same page. Look at something else Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I want you to go there before we go to what exactly is that answer that the gospel provides as truth. Are you getting it? That answer to all those questions, what exactly is it? Are you there thus far? Galatians, I said, Galatians and chapter 1 and verse 6. Somebody out there, are you following this? Notice what we said. Understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Amen. Understanding Christianity, what we saw as the understanding of Christianity from the Lord Jesus, he told us Christianity is the gospel. It's understood in the gospel. It's that message. Amen. Are you following this? And we said, what exactly is that message about? We said the message is about truth. Not someone's truth. Not someplace truth. Not a truth for some time. All men's truth, all places truth, all time truth, existence truth. Are you there? And that truth must be presented faithfully. I want the same page. I want the same page. Galatians 1 and 6. Are you there? He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different what?
Gospel.
Are you seeing this? Look at verse 7. He said, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to do what? Pervert. They want to distort. Amen. They want to get it muddled up. They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be what?
Accursed.
So it doesn't matter anybody that says, oh, an angel appeared to me. He said, if they preach to you any other gospel than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Is somebody out there? That means it's so key to know that the gospel is already a definite message, sorry, that has been laid down, that we must never waver from, that we must never deviate from. Hallelujah. He said, they preach any other gospel to you. He said, let such a one be accursed. Then look at verse 9. So he has said, if anyone, now he includes himself, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, okay, the first part was very inclusive, even if we, now he said, it says, if anyone preaches any gospel to you, other than that which we have received, let him be what? You know, some folks will say things like, oh, Jesus appeared to me and he told me this and this and this and that, and what they are saying contradicts what is the gospel. That person is a liar. Are you following this? Amen. Because the gospel itself is the truth. Amen. Any Jesus that appears someone like that ain't Jesus. Amen. He's probably another Jesus. They know there are many Jesus. There's Jesus as a footballer. In fact, in the Bible, there was bad Jesus. That was a false prophet. Amen. I want the same page. So you gotta be careful which Jesus is appearing to people. Are you following? My name is Jesus. Jesus of what? Even say Jesus of Nazareth. There were many in Nazareth, I suppose. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Jesus as God that became a man to save us cannot contradict his truth. Are you getting it? The gospel is not just the truth for all people. It must be truthfully presented. So anybody that presents any other, that tries to present this gospel in another way, in a different way, is not giving us the gospel, is giving us another gospel. Paul said, let such a one be accursed. Now, accursed doesn't mean you are going to curse him and say, I'll tell you something in another way, but because of people across board. And say, no, it wouldn't be good for you, or you curse the person out, or you even use a curse word. That's not let him be accursed. Accursed means let him be rejected. That's the word, anathema. Let the person be rejected. Are you following this? Amen. So anyone, Paul speaking, says that does not preach the truth of the gospel or purposes to preach the truth of the gospel but not truthfully should be rejected. Hallelujah. No matter how the person looks. Now, that doesn't mean fighting the person, just rejecting. I'm not going to accept that, right? Doesn't mean fighting the person, not boxing the person, not beating the person, but must be rejected. The person is not supposed to be accepted because of age, not supposed to be accepted because of looks, not supposed to be accepted because of wealth, not supposed to be accepted because of finesse, not supposed to be accepted because of maybe nice speaking, not to talk very well, like me. Praise God. I want the same page. So I believe what he's saying because he's not talking very well. No! You can only believe what the person is saying. What the person is saying is what? Is the gospel. Because the gospel is the truth. And it is the gospel presented as it is truthfully. Men and brethren, then if we know that it is the truth of our lives, and it determines our salvation as we saw, he said they are going to perish because they didn't receive the truth. Those who will perish. Amen. He says we are saved because of the sanctification of the Spirit, which is the belief in the truth. Amen. We need to ask that question. What exactly is the truth that the gospel submits? Are we there? Now, you're going to find that there's a short answer and there's a long answer to it. And we're going to give both, but not as extended as we can. There's a teaching you can listen to have further understanding on that. You can listen to Lordship of the Word that expands on this. You can listen to Redemption in Christ that expands on this. Amen. But we're going to give the answer of what is the gospel and what is the truth that the gospel is submitting. Amen. From the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Now, you know we saw earlier, I wanted to go there, 1 Corinthians 15 again. And then we're going to go to where the Lord Jesus spoke about the gospel that was given them to go and preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go there. Hallelujah. So understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. If my understanding of Christianity is not rooted or is not exactly the understanding of the gospel, I've got it wrong. I've got it wrong. Are you following this? To say I understand Christianity is to say I understand the gospel. Is somebody out there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel? Paul says here, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the what? I declare to you the what? The gospel which I preach to you, which you received and in which you stand. Notice that. So he's saying, this gospel is what I'm preaching. This gospel is what you received. This gospel is where you stand. He said, by which you are saved. So it's the gospel that you are also saved by. Are you there? By which you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. That means except you didn't actually believe it. Amen. Then you are not saved. Praise God. I want the same page. It says now in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also did what? Received. What is that message that he also received? So the gospel is the same message Paul said he received, that he preached to them, that they received, that they are saved by, and that they are standing in. Amen. So it's the message for our salvation, is the message for our spiritual growth, is the message of our ministry. What is that message? How that what? How that what? Christ, he says, are we together? How that Christ did what? Died for our sins according to the scriptures. Notice that fact. He said according to the scriptures. I'll be back to that shortly. He says, and I was buried and it rose again the third day. He says again according to what? The scriptures. So the gospel's answer is Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. But I say, what is the gospel? The gospel is not what you are to do. Amen. The gospel is what Christ has what? Has done. Praise God. Christ, what he has done. How he died. I was buried and he rose again. It's not what you are to do. It's what Christ has done. Amen. So, but when you say, how is that the answer to? You said it's the answer to the question of the truth. It's the answer to why I'm here. How is that the answer to why I'm here? Amen. That's why I said there's a short answer and long answer. But be patient. You're going to see. Look at Luke. So the gospel is the answer to the question of the truth. Not truth for some, truth for all, not truth for some time, truth for all time, not truth for just humans, truth of all things. Praise God. Are you there? Now, in Luke and in 24 as well, when we saw Jesus presenting the gospel to them, he gave the short version, as I've called it. There's the short version, and I said there's the long version. When we see the short version, then I'll show you the long version subsequently of what the gospel is. So when I say it's the truth of all things, you see it there. Amen. Luke 24 and in verse 25, it says, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have done what? Suffered the... Are you there? Turn your Bibles there. Luke 24. Turn your Bibles there. Amen. God be patient. God be patient. Amen. I want the same page. We've got about, I think, some 15 minutes or so. Hallelujah. It says, ought not Christ, hallelujah, to have suffered these things and to do what? To enter into his glory. So, what he calls what the prophets preach or what the scripture said, which is the gospel, is that Christ has to suffer and enter into his glory. But Paul says is that Christ died for our sins and he rose again. Am I right? So, is that the same thing? Yes. The suffering is his death. The glory is the resurrection. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Alright, so he says in verse 27, and beginning Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them where? In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So it's about Christ, the gospel. It's not about you first, it's about Christ first. Amen. And what he has done is suffering and entering into his glory. Then Luke 24 and verse 44 as well. Luke 24 and verse 44. The gospel is the answer to the question of truth. So Christianity is truth. Amen. For all people. So that everybody is actually responding to his truth, whether they like it or not. Like I said, you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Is somebody out there? They are responding to his question, to the answers that he gives as truth. And you'll see what those are. Now in Luke 25 verse 44, he said, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be what? Fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. What are those things? He said, he opened the understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures again. Notice scriptures. We see it again and again wherever the gospel is spoken of, scriptures, the prophets. Then verse 46, he says, first it is written and thus it behooved Christ to do what? Suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So, what is the gospel? Jesus is suffering and his resurrection from the same. Amen. His glory. Are you there? Look at one more or two more we're going to see. Look at Peter first. First Peter. Then we're going to come back to Paul in Romans. Amen. And we're going to see Paul talk about the gospel as the answer for the truth again. Amen. It's the answer of the question of truth. First Peter chapter 1. Praise the Lord. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Are you out there? We see it. The gospel is the answer to the question of truth. Is that Christ suffered and entered into glory, or Christ died and rose, and it is found in the scriptures. So there's a definite document for the presentation of the truth. Not every document is authorized for the presentation of the truth. Now, if I write a book, I'm definitely not going to want to write a lie in it. I'm going to write the same truth of the gospel. Are you following what I'm trying to say? But it is not an authorized material for that. Are you following this? It can present the truth. Doesn't mean it's an authorized material for the same. Only the scriptures is authorized of God to be that material to embody and present the truth. Every other person only teaches from the same. Are we on the same page? Alright, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, of which salvation, 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, who searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that is to come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and what? So the prophet and their testimony was about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the gospel, short answer, is the death and resurrection of Christ, the suffering of Christ and his glory, which is the resurrection. I want the same page. But it might look like, how does that answer the questions that I have in my heart about all of that? And that's what's going to show us the long answer. Amen. What is the gospel as a whole? Praise God. The gospel as a whole, we have already said, is this work that Christ has done. But the gospel as a whole is the context and the implication of that work. Pay attention. The gospel as a whole is the context and the implication of that work. Hallelujah. Are you following this? I said, let us go to one more before I get there. Sorry. That's Romans 1. It's key. The gospel as a whole is the context and the implication of that work. That is, why did he have to suffer and enter into his glory? You just say, the truth is that Christ suffered and entered into his glory. Why? Amen. From where? And what was this suffering and entering into the glory for? That's the implication, right? Why did he have to do it? That's the context. Am I right? Why? What? When he did it, what was he for? That's the implication. Am I right? So, if I don't understand the context of his doing that and the implication of that, it makes no sense to me. Praise the Lord. I want the same thus far. Look at Romans chapter 1 again. We are saying the gospel in a simple definition or in the summarized form will be called Christ's suffering and entering into his glory, or Christ's death and his resurrection. But we need to understand the context and the implication of the same. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 first. It says, Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So again, he calls it here the gospel of God. Are we there? Now, he says in verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Again, you see that the only authorized material for the same is the Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Are you there? Our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and was declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So that gospel is concerning the Son, how he became a man, amen, was born according to the of David, and was how he rose from the dead, became a man to suffer, am I right? Amen. And how he rose from the dead and was now declared the Son of God with power at the resurrection. Amen. So the gospel summarized form is Christ's death and his resurrection, Christ's suffering and his glory. Why and to what end? Are we on the same page? Why did he have to do it and to what end did he do it? What's the context and what's the implication? That's what now answers the question of truth in an awesome manner. And now Paul did much to make us see that in Ephesians. Praise God. He says this in Ephesians chapter 3, that he has given a summarized form of the gospel in a full context. We have seen a lot of the presentation of the gospel in a summarized context where it's just about Christ's death and resurrection. I say, oh, I want to be saved. I say, I want to be saved. How am I going to be saved? I'm going to be saved by Christ's death and resurrection. But why do I have to be saved? And to what end am I being saved? Praise God. What led to this situation I'm even existing? First, that I now am here to be saved, and I'm not even in a situation where I need to be saved. And to what end am I being saved? Are you following this at all? So it doesn't yet answer to me the question of why is the existence? Amen. It doesn't yet answer to me the question of what is the existence for? Are you following this? It doesn't even answer to me the question of when there's existence, why is it now in such a way that I now need to be saved? Why did you cause a situation, you might say, that some people need to be saved and some people will now be damned because of that? Are you getting this at all? So what is the answer to that question? How does he answer the situation whereby we say there is this loving God and yet there is sickness and disease and death and pain and aught that people are experiencing? Are we on the same page? How does he give me the answer to the question of the truth? And you call it the gospel that is truth. Amen. Are we on the same page? How is it the truth of existence if we cannot profile the answer? But we need to see Paul give us clarity on that. First, I said Ephesians and in chapter 3, see what it says. Ephesians and chapter 3. Are you out there? Ephesians 3, Paul first makes a case for saying, I have presented the message before I go to where he presented it. In Ephesians 3 and verse 1, he said, for this reason I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given unto me, how that by revelation he has made known unto me the mystery which I wrote afore in few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now let me just focus on 3 and 4. Amen. He said, I've written in few words afore. Amen. Look at what he says again. Verse 3. What does he say? Are you there? How that by revelation he has made known unto me the mystery which I wrote afore in few words. Now, what is called mystery is that sense of confusion that is on our hearts about what the truth is. Amen. Are you following this? That sense of confusion that lies on the heart of man, which only God can answer. Are you following this at all? Which only God can answer. Amen. God has to reveal it. Are you following this at all? Now, if I ask you what is the truth about something, the truth about a thing must include the revelation of it. Why does that thing even exist? Praise God. Is somebody there? Hallelujah. Then it says that by which when we read what he has written afore, we are going to understand that answer to the question of truth. Amen. What did he write afore? Ephesians chapter 1 from 3 to 14. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14, we see that he ends up in 13 and 14 saying, this, what I've written, is the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. What did he write? Amen. Pay attention. Are you out there thus far? So, let me recap again. We said, understanding Christianity, according to Jesus, is understanding what? The gospel. Are you there? Understanding Christianity is understanding what? Understanding the gospel. We started to say, what is the gospel about? We said the gospel is not some exclusive information. It's actually the answer itself to the question of truth. Truth of all things. Truth of existence. Are you there? And we are now seeing the short answer to it. The short answer is, it is Christ's death and resurrection. It is Christ's suffering and glory. Amen. But we said, it doesn't sometimes make sense if we just say, that's what the gospel is. We have to have the context of that and the implication. That is, why that and what is it for? Praise God. Are you listening to this at all? Now look at Ephesians 1 and 3, where Paul gives the long answer. Amen. He says Ephesians 1, 3, I'm going to kind of read it through and then I'm going to explain it afterwards. Are you following this? Pay attention. He says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you there? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now notice that. He says, God has blessed us today, we that are in Christ, with all spiritual blessings. But he said, what he has done to us today that are in Christ is from what he had in mind before the foundation of the world. Are you following this? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He now says in verse 5, having predestined us to what? Adoption as sons. In the Greek, that word adoption as sons, which Paul wrote in, he wrote in the Greek, is one word, which is the word ustasia. Are you there? Are you following this? Ustasia. Having predestined us to sonship. The word ustasia means sonship. He has predestined us to sonship, sorry, by Jesus Christ unto himself. Are you there? So to be sons of him, he has predestined us to sonship by Jesus Christ unto himself. That means he's telling us that what God had in mind before time was for all men to be his family, to be his sons. Amen. Are you getting this at all? And he predestined us to be his sons before time. Are you getting this at all? That was all that he planned or proposed for us to be his sons. Now pay attention. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which I have made us accepted and beloved. Then verse 7, in whom we have what? Redemption, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he proposed in himself. So what we are seeing that God is fulfilling today was already his will that was proposed in himself. Are you there? Was what he had proposed and planned in himself. So why is there existence? Because God had a purpose of sonship. Amen. But he's telling us here that that purpose of sonship, God in his foreknowledge knew that there was going to be sin and therefore predestined a redemption in Christ to bring us to that same purpose still. I want the same page. God's purpose, he says, for making existence. God is the one that, what is called, when you say God, you are talking about the self-existent one. So there's a self-existent one that accounts for the existence that we know and can see with our eyes. Amen. And his purpose behind that existence, he tells us, is sonship. He wants a family. Amen. And in planning for a family, knowing that that is going to be dependent on man's will, he knew that man at the first was going to reject that will, that plan, that purpose. Are we on the same page? And that will bring in sin and death. Are we together? And therefore had predestined a redemption. That redemption is the short version. Am I right? Christ died and was resurrected. Christ suffered and entered into his glory. So the glory is that we are sons and we are in his family. Are we on the same page? So he predestined that redemption, which is what we preach to people today, so that they can, what can happen? They can come into God's word. Purpose. Are we on the same page? So we have the message of redemption today as the gospel. But it's a message of redemption in the context of what? God's purpose. Are you following? God's purpose to what end? To what implication? To be in his family. Are we there? So the gospel is not just that simple fact of Christ's redemption. It's Christ's redemption for God's purpose of being in his family. Praise God. So it says in verse 10, where I stopped in 9, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of Christ, he may gather together in one all things in what? That's all the family, am I right? He may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. That means we are now sons. We are in the family. We have now obtained an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose. So the predestination was based on purpose. Are you following this? According to the purpose of him that works all things after his counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ Jesus may be to the praise of his glory. Men and brethren, the gospel is about God's purpose and God's plan. Are you following this? So the gospel is Christ's work. But Christ's work in the context of God's purpose and plan to have us in his family. Amen. So when we ask, what is truth? Truth of all people, of all time, and of all existence is that God, the self-existent creator, made all things for him to have a family. And the family he had in mind were men. Amen. Are we on the same page? And when he made all things for that purpose, he knew that they were going to reject at the start the purpose, which was the case, and therefore had already predestined and planned that there's going to be a redemption by he becoming a man. That's Christ Jesus the Son. Amen. And by that work, he's going to accomplish a redemption by which all men will, that believe will be brought into his family. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So the gospel doesn't exist in an haphazard sense. Christianity is not for some people. Is the truth of all people. Praise God. Is what everyone should see as what was God's purpose and plan that is to be accepted and received and walked in. Men and brethren, we are summarizing it, and so I encourage you to listen to the teaching Redemption in Christ to have more detail about this, as well as the teaching Lordship of the Word. But I'm going to wrap up with this. We have seen the gospel in its short and its long context. Amen. I'm going to wrap up with this. What then do I do with the gospel today? Praise God. Amen. What am I supposed to do with the gospel? Hallelujah. Understanding Christianity, understanding the gospel. Understanding Christianity is understanding the gospel. What am I supposed to do with the gospel today? Are you there? Amen. What am I supposed to do with the gospel today? I've seen that Christianity is about the gospel, totally. And I've seen that the gospel is about truth. Christianity is about the gospel. The gospel is about truth. And that truth, we have seen the answer. Am I right? In Christ's redemption, the short form, and in God's purpose and plan, the long form. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? What do I now do with the gospel today? When I hear the gospel today, the first thing I'm supposed to do is believe it. Praise God. I'm supposed to believe the gospel to be saved. And that's what the Lord Jesus sent them to do. He says in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be damned. The gospel today exists for me to believe it. What does it mean I believe it? I hear it and I affirm it as truth. Oh, I see. Wow, this is why there is everything. This is what everything is for. And I accept that this is truth. I accept it that this is what God made me for. I accept it that this is why he did the work of redemption. Amen. This is why we have the Christ. Amen. And this is why the Christ died. Amen. And this is why the Christ was raised. Are you following it? So I accomplish this work of bringing me into God's family. I must affirm it. I'm to believe it. Praise God. I must affirm it. Are you following this? And I'm now affirmed that I'm also in God's family today. I'm a new creation. I must affirm. I must believe it. That's the first thing. The gospel is to be believed. When I hear the gospel, no matter who I am, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what place I'm found, oh, I'm found in one far-reaching island that nobody has ever been to. It doesn't change the fact that the gospel is for you. Praise God. I'm found in a place that is cold or in a place that is hot. It doesn't change the fact that the gospel is for what? It's for you. The gospel is for all people, all time, in all places. Are you following this? I'm supposed to do what? Believe it. Affirm it as truth. And then I'm saved. I'm to believe it to be saved. What else am I supposed to do with gospel? I'm supposed to be taught and discipled of it. One, as I hear it, I'm supposed to believe it. Second, I'm supposed to be taught and discipled of it. Obviously, as you hear the gospel the first time, as you are doing now, amen, you find out that there's much explanation to have to be grounded in it. Are you following this? I'm supposed to be discipled of it, taught of it, establishing it. So I'm going to give myself to be trained with the gospel. Now, listen well. When I believe the gospel and I'm saved, I'm now part of God's family. It means I'm not going to gather with that family, which is the church. The church spiritual is what I'm already part of. But I must now gather with the church physical to be trained and taught of that message. Are you following this? To be schooled in that message. To be established in that message. That's the second thing I'm supposed to do. When I meet the truth of God's word, I believe it first to be saved. Amen? Second, I'm now supposed to commit to be taught of it, to be established in it. Why? So that I can grow spiritually. Peter is going to say that, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, I'm now born of that message when I believe it. Am I right? I'm born again, I'm a new creation. Amen. As newborn babes, says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may do what? Grow thereby. Hallelujah. So I'm now going to commit to be taught of it. You see, many Christians just hear the gospel, and they are Christians because they hear the gospel and they believe it, but they don't make that vital commitment. Are you following this at all? To be taught of it. And what Jesus said to go and do, he said, go and make disciples. That means it's not just enough that they are baptized into my name, which is into my family. They are supposed to now be taught, teaching them, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you and learn with you always, even unto the end of the world, the age. I'm now supposed to be taught. There's to be a commitment to be taught of the gospel. That means I must stay where the truth of the gospel is taught and become a student of the same and be schooled and trained in it. That's the second thing I'm supposed to do. When I hear the gospel, I'm supposed to affirm it, believe it, to be saved. I'm supposed to commit to it, to what? To be discipled, to be trained, and to grow spiritually. A child without food will become stunted. It won't change the fact that the person is God's child for life, but he's going to have a stunted growth, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. The third thing I'm supposed to do is to walk in it. As I'm being taught of it, it's not going to affect my conduct. I'm not going to walk in it. Amen. It's going to affect my conduct. It's going to affect the way I carry myself and live my life. I'm going to walk in it. I will see myself as one having a new status. Praise God. I'm no longer going to walk in fear and in condemnation anymore. No, I cannot be damned. Are you following this? For me, I'll say what is true about myself. There is now therefore no condemnation. Praise God. I have the forgiveness of sins. Bible tells us Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. You know, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'm walking in it. Walking in it means I'm walking in no condemnation. Amen. I'm walking in forgiveness. Are you following this? But also it's affecting my character. I'm walking in love. Amen. I'm walking in sanctification because I've already been set apart by the Spirit of God. Are you following this? So it's affecting my character. I'm walking in it. Walking in no condemnation. Walking in love. Walking in the Spirit or in sanctification. Praise God. I'm walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Also, I'm walking in the power of God. Hallelujah. Because now it tells me that there's a power that is at work in me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. To him that is able to do all things that you ask or think according to the power that is at work where? In you. I'm walking in the power of God. So I'm walking in it. I'm walking in no condemnation, in forgiveness. I'm walking in love. Am I right? I'm walking in the Spirit or in sanctification. I'm also walking in the power of God. I'm demonstrating the things of the Spirit. Is somebody out there? Amen. The last thing, I'm pursuing its mission or purpose. Praise God. When I hear the gospel, I don't just believe it and become saved. I commit to it to be trained and a student. I'm also walking in it, but I'm also pursuing its mission. You find that God himself has a mission. That's why we have existence. And he pursues that mission by becoming a man. The Lord Jesus. Amen. To save. I want the same page. And he now commits that mission to us as he was living. Amen. He says, go. Hallelujah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That same truth. Don't keep it to yourself once you have believed it. Amen. Don't keep it to yourself as you have been taught of it. Take the same to all people. Praise God. Ensure every other person also has the opportunity to hear the truth. That question that is on their heart, that they are answering in different ways. Some of them are answering it with all sorts of lies. You are going to tell them, no, look at it like this. This is what the truth is. Point them to it. It's supposed to be a witness to every nation. The word means an evidence. Amen. To every nation. Show them that this is it. There's an evidence for it. It is the truth. Hallelujah. An evidence to every nation, to every person. Hallelujah. Every believer has been given that message by the Lord Jesus to preach, to teach, to ensure that we snatch men from the hands of the falsehood and the lie, from the hands of the enemy who is the father of lies, to ensure that we bring men out of that darkness and death that they are found abiding in because of man's own sin. Hallelujah. To bring them even unto the light, the love, and the glory of Christ Jesus. Amen. He didn't die and suffer that much for us to keep it to ourselves. Praise God. He died and suffered for all men, not few, not some, not most, but all to hear the same. Are you following what I'm saying? Every man has a duty. Duty bound by looking at the sacrifice of Christ to commit his heart to his work. Amen. To commit his heart, his life to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. To ensure that he's found preaching and teaching the gospel. That every man should hear the same. That every man should know his name. Are we on the same page? Hallelujah. Jesus has suffered and died in our place. Amen. For us not to be damned. He suffered and died in our place for us to be saved. He suffered and died in our place for us to be students of his word and to grow spiritually. To walk in all that he has provided. To walk in his power. Men and brethren, to carry on his mission and his purpose in the earth today. Amen. When I say Christianity, I'm saying the gospel. When I'm saying the gospel, I'm saying the truth. When I'm saying the truth, I'm saying Christ, his death and his resurrection. For God's purpose and plan to be fulfilled, for me to be in God's family, for me to carry on his mission. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's consecrate ours and let us pray. Let us pray. Consecrate ours to the gospel. If you have not believed it, you should believe it now. I find the same. Lord, I believe your message. Yes, you wanted us in your family, and so we have the existence that we have. And now you have done the work to bring me unto you. I believe your word. I believe the gospel. Lord, I commit to being a student of the gospel. Not just today, but for life. To stay where the gospel is taught. To be faithful where it is found. To stay faithfully to grow in your message. Not just to have excitement and to have fun. No! But to be a student of your word for life. To allow the teaching of your word to have its place in my heart. To cause me to walk as you want me to walk. To walk as you have me do. To walk in no condemnation. To walk in forgiveness of sins. To walk in love, to walk in the spirit and in sanctification. Lord, to walk in your power. I consecrate my heart. I consecrate my heart to walk as you are going to have me walk. Yes, Lord. And I know there is a mission to ensure that this truth is taken to all people. For truth has its implication. Lord, I refuse to watch men damned. Lord, I refuse to watch men condemned when the truth is in my hands. Lord, I commit to give your word to even the hardened and the difficult and the blinded, and to ensure that they see the truth of your word. Lord, we commit our lives today.